Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. The headlines this evening. The government is being accused of dressing up failure as success when it comes to new housing figures. CSO reporting 36,000 homes were built in 2025. The government, the opposition say, promised over 40,000. St. Eunan's College in Letterkenny expresses disappointment over its exclusion from yesterday's funding announcement from the Department of Education. Only one project in Donegal got the green light. A popular Donegal scenic route could be under threat if action isn't taken to address coastal erosion near Ballymastocker Strand. We'll hear from Councillor Liam Blaney. And police in Derry seize electronic material following two planned searches in the Creggan area. Later, Oisin is here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:45. And as it's a Thursday, we'll have farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. All that to follow. But we'll begin with the government and housing figures. The government being accused this evening of dressing failure up as success when it comes to the new housing figures. The CSO reported earlier today more than 36,000 homes were built last year. That's a 20% rise compared to 2024. Of those, 681 were completed in Donegal. The opposition says this falls far short of the 40,000 promised in the general election. Cian O'Callaghan is the deputy leader of the Social Democrats.
You promised the voters 41,000 homes. You did that in your election manifesto, and just weeks before the election as a government you promised 41,000 homes in 2025. You failed to meet your own target that you set for yourself by almost 5,000 homes, and you're dressing this up as some sort of success, dressing up failure as success.
Well, Taoiseach Micheál Hall Martin says efforts to get to 50,000 new builds a year are continuing.
This is a hard slog in many respects. That's why a 20% increase in itself is significant. But we have to get more built. And that's why in the last number of years, that's why we're bringing in the legislation to reform the rental sector, to make sure that there's an investment proposition there for people to build apartments into the future. And that is why, for example, we brought down the VAT in the budget to narrow the viability gap. We've taken a lot of measures in the last 12 months that will create the foundation for further housing commencements and completions in the years ahead. We need to bring private sector investment in to complement the huge public sector investment that's going into housing. But these are good figures, the highest since 2018, when this series of statistics began. That is quite significant in terms of our challenge in respect to housing.
Well, at local electoral area level, 150 houses were completed in Letterkenny, 128 in Donegal, 123 in Glenties, 108 in Lifford-Stranorer, 64 in Milford, 56 in South Inishowen and 52 in North Inishowen. St. Eunan's College in Letterkenny has expressed disappointment over its exclusion from yesterday's funding announcement under the Department of Education's National Development Plan. Of the projects approved yesterday, only one in Donegal, St. Columba's College Stranorer, received the green light. Well, today the principal of St. Eunan's, Jamie McCrory, told Greg Hughes that the lack of communication regarding the decision was unacceptable. He added St. Eunan's has long been lobbying for refurbishment and a much awaited and needed extension.
Yeah, the feeling, we're devastated, to be quite honest. We're extremely disappointed. We got the word whenever it was communicated yesterday by the media, and that was our first notion that we weren't on this list, and we were highly disappointed, angry as well, at the fact that we're not on it. No, but first of all, can I just congratulate St. Columba's College in Stranorler, and it's well deserved. But it's highly disappointing that one school in the county, the county this size, one school has been listed.
You can hear more from Damien McCrory on our website, highlandradio.com. And of course, the whole of the Greg Hughes Show is podcast on our website, highlandradio.com. You can also watch the show back on our Facebook pages and also our YouTube channel, Highland Radio Ireland. Meanwhile, Deputy Charles Ward has criticised the exclusion of St. Eunan's. He said today he'll be seeking a clear explanation from the Minister for Education of the criteria applied, how projects were prioritised, and why a school of this scale, with planning permission already secured, was not included. Deputy Ward says he'll also be seeking clarity on the future status of the project, especially given the risk that planning permission could lapse if construction doesn't commence within a certain time frame. A popular Donegal scenic route could be under threat if action isn't taken to address coastal erosion near Ballymastocker Strand. Councillor Liam Blaney says the damage started small but has now spread to the sand dunes, with access to part of Ballymastocker Beach already blocked as a result. Councillor Blaney, who has been raising this issue, he says, for over a decade, told today's Greg Hughes Show the erosion could eventually obstruct the Nucolic Coast Road, and he urged authorities to act before it's too late.
The dunes, there's not many left, and one particular area, it's not far from the Knockgallow Coast Road, and it won't take long before it gets out onto the coast road, and by that stage it's going to be too late to do anything, and the coast road will be blocked off, and God knows what other damage is going to do, and I don't think we can allow it to get that far.
Meanwhile, Councillor Joy Beard also says that there is a serious coastal erosion problem in Inishowen, and she told a meeting of Donegal County Council this week that 4 years' worth of data collected on coastal erosion on the peninsula will not be analysed by the Office of Public Works. Councillor Beard says in the meantime, things are getting worse and they have data, but no one to analyse it.
They gathered data for four full years between 2020 and 2024. Now, I would like to think, as I'm sure everybody else would, that monitoring would have led to data being analysed and then updating the risk assessment to do with our coastal erosion so that we can plan now and protect our communities. Instead, we've been told that there's no plans to analyse this data that's been ongoing for 4 years. And I think that's worrying. The raw data has been distributed here to Donegal County Council, but at present, they don't have anyone to read that data. So they have to apply for funding now to get someone to read that data. You know, and this is a real issue, a real time issue. You know, as in relation to coastal erosion, it's you know, evolving all the time, and it's happening even today. You know, and now we don't have any after that 4 years, you know, of monitoring. We aren't even able to find out what is happening to our coasts.
Police in Derry have seized electronic material following two planned searches in the Creggan area this afternoon. The searches are part of a wider investigation into INLA activity. It's understood no arrests were made by the organised crime branch during today's operation. Staying in Derry, and the Strand Road is to benefit from a £680 carriageway resurfacing scheme. Infrastructure Minister Liz Kimmins announced the works, which will commence on Monday, February 16th. With more, here's Donna Marie Doherty.
The scheme will involve the full resurfacing of 750 metres of the four-lane carriageway from Queen's Quay roundabout to Meadowbank Avenue. It will also include structural carriageway patching at specific locations, along with resurfacing of sections of the adjoining footway network. Initial works will focus on footway repairs. The first phase will involve moving lane closures along the length of the scheme, and those will be in place on weekdays between 9:30 in the morning and 4:30 in the afternoon. A full road closure will be required for the resurfacing element, with details to be shared as works progress. Traffic management will be in place and measures have been taken to maintain local access. Road users are advised to expect delays and allow extra time for journeys, as well as complying with temporary traffic restrictions. The works are due to be substantially completed by the end of April.
There will be an increased number of Gardaí and speed vans on the roads over the coming days. Gardaí and the RSA have launched their Bank Holiday Road Safety campaign. It runs from today until Tuesday. In addition to extra checkpoints, every Garda on duty will be conducting road traffic enforcement activity. Assistant Commissioner for Roads Policing, Katharina Gunn, says they'll be looking for all forms of illegal activity among motorists.
For example, driving under the influence of an intoxicant, drink or drugs, seat belt enforcement, speeding, particularly. We're asking road users to be mindful of the weather conditions and to drive at a speed that is appropriate to those conditions. In the last 5 years, we have issued 110,000 fixed charge penalty notices for use of mobile phones while driving. Driving demands your undivided attention. I'd ask, is that message, that call, that app more important than a life?
The Donegal Local Development Company has launched its social enterprise strategy for 2025 to 2028. It's intended to boost the capacity and sustainability of social enterprises through partnerships, diverse funding and collaboration with the private sector and third level institutions. The Social Enterprise Network Donegal allows managers, DLDCs, to meet monthly to share knowledge and support. DLDC's Community Development Manager is Martin McDevitt.
One of the initial strategy initiatives was to form a network for social enterprise managers and committee members so that they could come together and have peer support, have shared learning, gain from each other's experiences. So it was like a communication platform, it was a participation platform, but also then we could respond to kind of any identified needs that they had, whether it was manager level or as a voluntary committee member. So we started off with single digits of social enterprises as far back as 2020, and over the last 5 years that has grown now. We've like 75 members of our network, and it just shows the vast range of social enterprises across the catchment. And we meet monthly. And so we have a structure now where we meet on a regular basis, and we have in-person meetings with guest facilitators, you know, based on their requests. And then we also have online meetings, and we have, you know, training programs. We have some capacity building support. So, yeah, the SENT network has expanded massively over the last 5 years, and we hope it continues to keep growing now in this new strategy.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with running shoes from michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 17 minutes to 6 o'clock. Oisín Kelly is at the sports desk.
Thanks, Donal. We're going to start with European football. And this evening sees the conclusion of the league phase in the Europa League. Celtic need a win at home to Utrecht to guarantee their place in the knockout stages. Martin O'Neill says the Celtic team will have to produce a big performance to ensure qualification. The Celtic boss is relishing the chance of taking charge of a European fixture on home turf.
I think you'd be some sort of a dunderhead if you never look forward to games at Celtic Park and in European nights. They really are special. They have been for a long time, and every manager would think that has managed this football club would feel exactly the same. My time here in charge of just recently has been the three away games, Michelin, Feyenoord and Bologna. So it would be nice to get home. Of course, that guarantees absolutely nothing.
Kick-off to that game is at 8 o'clock, as is the rest of the ties. Nottingham Forest start the night in 16th place. They host Robbie Keane's Ferencváros at the City Ground. Aston Villa are already guaranteed a place in the last 16 as they round off their league phase campaign by hosting Salzburg. Already eliminated Rangers are away to Porto, while Evan Ferguson misses Roma's trip to Panathinaikos through injury. All of tonight's games kick-off at 8 o'clock. It's reported that Crystal Palace have agreed a deal in principle in the region of €57.7 million to sign Wolves striker Jorgen Strand Larsen. Leeds United had already seen an offer rejected by Wolves. The club were reluctant to go much higher than what they had offered. Senegal manager Pepe Chawa has been banned for 5 games after the chaos during the African Cup of Nations final. He instructed his players to leave the field after host Morocco were awarded a stoppage time penalty. After 17 minutes off the pitch, the players returned, with Senegal ultimately going on to lift the trophy. Chawa was also fined over €85,000. A number of players were fined too for their actions, with the total being almost €1 million. Owen Eldin has told Hibernian supporters that he wants to make a big impact at the club. The Scottish Premiership side have confirmed the signing of the 19-year-old Sligo Rovers player on a 4.5-year deal. Hibs boss David Gray has hailed Eldin as an exciting player. Eldin wants to help the Edinburgh outfit back into European football.
Yeah, I'm hoping to come in and make a big impact straight away. Come in, score a few goals and help the team. But in the long run, hopefully get the team into Europe. You know, this club should be competing in European competitions and winning trophies.
On to schools, Gaelic games, and there was defeat earlier today for Carndonagh Community School in the under-19 Marquee Cup final at Owen Beg. They went down to their Tyrone opposition, St Kieran's of Ballygolly, by 3 points. A late goal and a point by the Tyrone side secured the win and the cup for St Kieran's. It finished Carndonagh 2-15, St Kieran's 4-12. In tennis, Elena Rybakina will meet Aryna Sabalenka in the final of the women's singles at the Australian Open. Rybakina defeated American Jessica Pegula in straight sets in Melbourne earlier, 6-3, 6-2. Sabalenka, who's ranked one in the world, is also through on a straight sets win and indeed will take part in a fourth successive decider. She's seen off Elena Svitolina earlier as well. On the golf front, Padraig Harrington carded a 1-under-par 71 on day one of the Bahrain Championship. Spain's Alejandro Del Rey and Freddy Aschot of Germany are tied for the overnight lead at the DP World Tour event. They're on 7-under-par. And Seamus Power is in the field for the opening round of the PGA Tour's Farmer Insurance Open later. He tees off at Torrey Pines just after 6:15 Irish time. Finally, this week on The Score, there will be football from the neighbouring counties. We will hear from Derry City ahead of the new Premier Division campaign and this weekend's President's Cup. There's a Tyrone derby in the Northern Ireland Premier Intermediate League as Derry face off with Strabane Athletic. We speak with both clubs. There will be reaction to Pubble Scullaghy Doors' famous All-Ireland success this week as they retain the title. The Galway Rally gets up and running this weekend with lots of Donegal interest. We'll have a preview with Rory Kennedy. And indeed, we'll look ahead to the Donegal Sports Star Awards with Declan Kerr. It's all part of what is a busy Score programme tonight after the 7 o'clock news. Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisín. Well, it's a Thursday, which means it's time for Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Hello and welcome along to this week's Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Coming up, I'll be hearing about a huge price disparity between factories who are buying in cattle. But first, just want to give you some advance notice of a Better Sheep Farm Walk that's been organised by Teagasc. It'll take place next Wednesday, February the 4th at 6:30 p.m. on Patrick Doherty's farm at Ballynakilly in Churchill, and all are welcome. Topics to be covered will include an overview of Patrick's organic farming system, pre-lambing nutrition and feeding management, sheep housing layout and lambing facilities, and challenges since organic conversion. Well, the Irish Farmers Journal has an exclusive story this week that will certainly make quite a few people sit up and take notice. There's a staggering variation in prices being paid by factories for cattle. The author of the story is Phelim O'Neill, the paper's European specialist, a Tyrone man and no stranger to this programme. Phelim, good to have you on for the first time this year. Let's get straight to the point. The Factory Price League has thrown up some very interesting, indeed startling figures.
Hello again, Chris. Yeah, it is. They're a feature of the Farmers Journal at the end of January every year now. This is my 10th year at it. And I suppose there's a recurring theme at this stage that I've picked up on, you know, that there's always a big price spread between the highest paying factories and the lowest paying factories. Many reasons for that we can go into in a moment, but I suppose what are the headline figures? Well, from a County Donegal point of view, there will be two meat factories that report prices from the county, both over in the eastern side of it, C&J Meats, just outside Lifford there, and Foyle just up the road then from that at Carrigan's. And in terms of performance, Foyle came in with four top three finishes. They got three third places and one silver, one second place. C&J came in with one second place in the cows, steers, the P3 steers grade. And the way the factory leagues work, Chris, is we take and we try to be representative of the, if you like, the cattle that's killed across the country. And there's a multitude of grades, but we basically pick out four steer grades, the U equal 3, the R equal 3, the O equals 3, and the P plus equals 3. And we do the same then across heifers, cows and young bulls. So that gives us 16 categories altogether. And we assess from top to bottom in that. And we award then the table toppers, of course, and we do our little table every year, the silver, gold and bronze. Now, they don't tell the full story. And if I have time for just to maybe explain a little bit, you know, factories report every week in life, but they don't kill each of those grades every week in life. And in fact, some cases, and I'll take the example of Jennings that would top the table in steers and heifers on 7 occasions. They don't handle any young bulls at all. They don't handle any cows at all. So they don't. They have a zero figure into that week. And then there's some other factories that will be reporting. Maybe they just have the odd random cow that has wandered in and come in that they haven't set out to buy as such. And they might only report 1 or 2 weeks. So when we're doing the assessment then on the spread between the highest paying factories and the lowest paying, this year for the first time we set a minimum of 10 weeks reporting to qualify. So if a factory's reported for 10 weeks or more, then we've used them in the spread calculation. So what did it tell us? It tells us that at the highest level, on the most extreme example, on the R3 cows, that there's a spread price spread of up to €223. Now,
An R3 cow is a fairly rare grade. It's an exceptionally good suckler cow that's came to the end of its productive life and is making its way to the factory. But if we look then at more mainstream everyday grades, and the O equals 3 equals would be a very mainstream grade across all types of stock, right through from steers, heifers, young bulls and into cows. And in that category then, we can see that there's a spread there of about 148 and 149 euro respectively for steers and heifers, as high as 197 on young bulls. So there's, you can see it matters, and it's worth paying attention to the tables that are published every week in the Irish Farmers Journal to see what factories are really chasing what type of cattle.
Now, people do have choice, but how much do you think people shop around?
I think it's a trend, and we have done surveys in the past on that, and we are creatures of habit in this country, Chris. We tend to go to the same place week in, week out. Now, and again, it makes sense. If you're living in County Donegal, it does take a lot of extra money to transport an animal to a factory that's beyond County Donegal. The next closest is Clonus. You're looking perhaps in Ballyhaunis or Athleague or somewhere like that. So we're not saying that you can sort of throw it on the lorry and travel the length and breadth of the country for nothing. You don't. But it's something that's worth keeping in mind. And shopping around is something that we would advise in every farmer and every sale.
Just while we have you on, Blue Tongue has hit Ireland. Certainly a matter of concern, and there are implications already for beef exports to China, which have only just resumed. Everybody is on high alert.
Yeah, Blue Tongue arrived on the island of Ireland in County Down a few weeks back, and it seemed to be confined there to a small number of farms in the on the eastern side of the county. And we were kind of hoping, I suppose, that that would be it, but now it has been discovered in County Wexford, and again it's on the eastern coast. It has been in Wales and in Britain for much of 2025, so there was a degree of inevitability, I suppose, that would make its way across the Irish Sea. The department will be very anxious to try and keep it as confined as possible, and it will be more difficult as the year goes on because of spread by midges, and as we get into the warmer time of year now in another few weeks' time, then the midge population increases and the spread risk increases alongside that. And it's not just the animal health issue that's involved here. There's also a trade dimension. You referred to the China business. We had only just got that market opened again 10 days ago after the Taoiseach had been out there on the state visit. And that's been very much a stop-start market since it first opened in 2018. In fact, it has never really got commercially developed, Chris. It has, as soon as we've got going in the past, it's been atypical BSE cases that have knocked us out. Now it's Blue Tongue. So you definitely would look at our export market to China for beef and say that one is really jinxed.
I suppose in fairness to the department and everybody here, it does show that we do have the right protocols there and that there is an automatic suspension being triggered.
There's no question about that, and I think that's widely recognised internationally. And look, it's good, and we don't have a choice in this. Like, we really, as a major exporting country, export 90% of what we produce in terms of beef and dairy products. You know, you have to be at the elite standard. We are at the elite standard. The systems work. Sadly, it doesn't always tell us the news that we want to hear. And the Blue Tongue monitoring program is case in point of that. It gives us the bad news, and then we have to act accordingly whenever we get the bad news.
And that was Phelim O'Neill, European Specialist with the Irish Farmers Journal. Well, in other news, a young livestock auctioneer from County Leitrim and a travel agent from County Roscommon have been crowned the overall champions of the 19th annual Orivo Northwest Kings and Queens competition. The competition took place at the Radisson Hotel in Sligo last Saturday with 16 contestants from all over the Northwest. Winning the 2026 Orivo Northwest Queen title was Laurie Curtis from South Roscommon, Macra, and the Northwest King title went to Keane Connolly from Drumriley in County Leitrim. And congratulations to Ian McCaig from Inishowen, who picked up a prestigious Master Breeder Award at the Irish Holston Friesian Association Awards, which were held in Portlaoise recently. And well done also to all involved in the recent annual Poor Farmers Auction, which marked its 20th anniversary event at Teig's Bar in Ardrath earlier this month by raising a whopping €48,000 on the night for local charities. The 166 slots featured everything from sheep to silage bales. And finally, primary schools nationwide are being invited to take part in a nature photography competition in celebration of National Tree Week this year. Culture has launched it for national schools, and they are invited to submit a photo of their favourite tree or outdoor nature space. The winning entries will win a class trip to the Beyond the Trees Avondale Forest Park in County Wicklow. Last year, Sculmora in Glenties was one of the winners. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, thanks for tuning in. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybofey and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
And the weather forecast for this Thursday evening. Cloudy and blustery with scattered rain and drizzle this evening. Early tonight, more persistent rain will spread from the southwest. Rain heavy at times, leading to a risk of some localised flooding. Top temperatures overnight 3 to 5 degrees Celsius. Fresh to strong and gusty southeasterly winds. Gales at times in coastal areas. Tomorrow will be quite windy with outbreaks of rain breaking up into isolated showers and a few bright spells in the afternoon. Top temperatures of 7 to 9 degrees Celsius with southeast winds easing throughout the course of the day. The closing headlines here on Highland Radio's Evening News. The government is being accused of dressing up failure as success when it comes to the new housing figures. The CSO reported more than 36,000 new homes built last year, a 20% year-on-year rise, but still almost 5,000 short of what was promised in the general election, according to the opposition. Of those homes, 681 were completed in Donegal. Deputy Charles Ward has criticised the exclusion of St Eunan's from the funding package announced yesterday by the Department of Education. He says he'll be seeking a clear explanation from the Minister for Education on the criteria applied, how projects were prioritised, and why a school of this scale was rejected with planning permission already in place. And the popular Donegal scenic route, the Knockout Coast Road, could be under threat if action isn't taken to address coastal erosion near Ballymastocker Strand. That's according to Councillor Liam Blaney. We're back with headlines at 7 o'clock. Until then, from the news team, good evening.
The obituary notices this Thursday evening, January 29th. The death has taken place of Margaret Elizabeth Elsie Miller, née Boggs, Arden Place, Kilfenan, Londonderry and formerly of Mellon Town. Remains are reposing at W.J. O'Brien and Sons Funeral Home, 110 Cluny Road, Eglinton, tomorrow from 1pm until 3pm and from 7pm until 9pm. A service of thanksgiving will take place in Kilfenan Presbyterian Church on Saturday at 2 o'clock. A private cremation will take place at a later date. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if wished, to Mary Curie, care of W.J. O'Brien and Son Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Jim Doherty Pat, number 7, the Cottages, Clay Clonmany, formerly of Clunta Clonmany. Jim's remains will be reposing at St. Colum Kill Oratory, Clay Clonmany, today until 8 o'clock and on Friday from 3pm until 8pm. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 22:11, going to St. Mary's Church Clonmany for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Jim's funeral mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to St. Colum Kill Village, Clay, care of any family member or McFeely Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Betty Loughlin, née Gallagher of Ballykerrigan Clohan. Betty's remains are reposing at the family home in Ballykerrigan Clohan today until rosary at 9pm and tomorrow from 12 noon until 9 o'clock. Family time outside reposing times and on the morning of the funeral. Requiem Mass on Saturday at 11 o'clock in the Church of Our Lady of Perpetual Succour Glenfinn. Service of interment is afterwards in Kilworth Cemetery Glenfinn. Mass can be viewed on the parish webcam. A shuttle bus will operate from the Reelin Bar car park from 5 o'clock each evening. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Marley Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Mary Ferry, Ní McGinley of Derryreel, Fulcara, reposing at her late residence today until 10 o'clock and again tomorrow from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. Family time on the morning of the funeral, please. Funeral mass in Holy Cross Church, Dunfanaghy on Saturday at 12 noon. Burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery, Creasla. Mass can be viewed live on mcn.live. The death has occurred of Michael Porter Sr., late of Tullynavin, Redcastle. Michael's remains will repose at Eamon McLaughlin's funeral home today until 8 o'clock and tomorrow from 5 p.m. until 8 p.m. Funeral from there on Saturday at 20 past 10 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St. Columba's Church, Drung, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on the parish webcam. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Nazareth House Fawn, care of any family member or Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Director. The death has occurred of Anne Sharp Ní Linden of Kennaughty Ardra, formerly of Connemara Galway. Anne is reposing at McCabe's Funeral Home Ardra until 9 o'clock tonight. Removal from McCabe's funeral home tomorrow for funeral mass at 1:30 in the Church of the Holy Family Ardra. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. House private at all times, please. The death has taken place of Charlie Longwell, Glenside Grandship, Buncrana. Charlie's remains are reposing at McLaughlin's Funeral Home, Buncrana, until 9 o'clock today. Removal from there at 10:30 tomorrow, going to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. House is private at the request of the deceased. Funeral Mass can be viewed online at churchservices.tv. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Rosemary Donnelly, Ní Mur, 34 Hillview Avenue, Newton Abbey, County Antrim, and formerly of Mass Glenties, reposing at her home in Newton Abbey until 9 o'clock tonight. Requiem Mass tomorrow at 11 a.m. in St Mary's Star of the Sea Church, White House, Newton Abbey. Burial in Glenties Graveyard at approximately 3:45. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on the Loch Shore Parish's webcam. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu of flowers to NI Hospice, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Dylan McNamee, 22, St Bridget's Crescent, Drumkeen. Dylan's remains will repose at his home in Drumkeen today until 10 o'clock tonight, with rosary at 9 o'clock. Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Drumkeen, at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to HighlandRadio.com.